Today, our scripture is from the fourth chapter of John, and we wanted to be sure that you heard it. It's 42 verses long, and I was afraid that our children of all ages might have trouble listening to 42 verses of scripture read out loud. And so, our scripture reading today, our word for all ages, will be Reader's Theater style. This is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42.
Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was making more disciples and baptizing more than John, although Jesus' disciples were baptizing, not Jesus himself. Therefore, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her,
"Give me some water to drink."
His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked,
"Why did you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?"
Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with one another.
"If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water."
"Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You are greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock."
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become, in those who drink it, a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water again."
"Go, get your husband, and come back here."
"I don't have a husband."
"You're right to say I don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband. You spoke the truth."
"Sir, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it's necessary to worship in Jerusalem?"
"Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming, and is here, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. The Father looks for those who worship him this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach everything to us."
"I am the one who speaks with you."
Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman put down her jar and went into the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?"
They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples spoke to Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." Jesus said to them,
"I have food to eat that you don't know about."
The disciples asked each other, "Has someone brought him food?"
"I am fed by doing the will of the one who sent me, and by completing his work." "Don't you have a saying? 4 more months, and then it's time to harvest. Look, I tell you, open your eyes and notice that the fields are already ripe for the harvest. Those who harvest are receiving their pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that those who sow and those who harvest can celebrate together. This is a true saying, that one who sows and another harvests. I have sent you to harvest what you didn't work for. Others worked hard, and you will share in their hard work."
Many many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well is one that may be familiar to many of us. I'm going to say it again. It's one of my favorites. I feel like I say that a lot. I do love the Gospel of John, though. And I'm pretty sure that there's enough in these 42 verses for at least a 5-sermon series. But I promise I'm not going to try and squeeze all of that into today. I want us to see this story, though, and so I'd encourage you maybe this week to read it every day and see what God might be saying to you from it. So the story begins by telling us that Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way from Judea back to Galilee. But what's interesting here is that he didn't really have to do that, at least not physically. You see, because of the animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews, most Jewish travelers, when they were traveling from to or from Galilee and Judea, would go the long way around. They would cross the river, so the Jordan River, and go up the other side to get to Galilee or Judea. So they didn't have to go through Samaria. This wasn't a geographical requirement that Scripture is talking about. It was a spiritual necessity. It was an integral part of God's plan for Jesus' ministry. It was a long walk, and it was the heat of the day. So Jesus was tired and thirsty from his journey, and he stopped at a well, and there he encountered a Samaritan woman. And her reaction when he asked for that drink points to the vast divide between Samaritans and Jews, and between men and women who they weren't related to or part of a close circle of acquaintances. Jews and Samaritans both traced their lineage back to Abraham and his descendants. They were related. But Jews considered Samaritans to be outsiders and idolaters. Half-breeds, they sometimes were called. Part of the difference is that Samaritans held only to the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible, the Book of Moses, as it's sometimes known, as their scripture. They didn't understand the prophets to be part of scripture. And also, they believed that worship should take place on Mount Gerizim instead of on Jerusalem, where the Jewish people believed worship was to take place. These may not sound like big deals to us, but this was an ancient and powerful divide. Added to all of this, the disciples had left Jesus to go buy food, so Jesus is not just alone with a Samaritan, he's alone with a Samaritan woman, and that was not done. This conversation should not have been happening. Samaria was the last place that Jesus would be expected to go to show God's love for the world. And yet, that's where we're told it was necessary for him to go. That necessity is a theological necessity. Think about what we just heard last week Jesus say to Nicodemus, that God so loved the world. And the disciples, Jesus' followers, needed to know and understand who and what that meant, the entirety of God's creation, even those on the outskirts. So now that we understand a little bit more about Samaritans and Jews at that time, let's dive in and look more specifically at one Samaritan in particular, this woman, whose name we never even know. I've most often heard her story told as if she was some horrible sinner or prostitute or in some way an outcast shamed by her community. Have y'all, is that how you recognize her? But if we look at the text carefully, there's nothing in it that says that. There's nothing that remotely reads like that. In fact, this is one of the few stories of an encounter with Jesus in which there's no mention at all of sin or forgiveness. This isn't a scandalous woman. Notice that there's no condemnation in Jesus' words to her at all, merely an acknowledgement of her vulnerability and truthfulness. He's showing compassion, not judgment. Yes, she has had 5 husbands, but that doesn't imply that she's been unfaithful. We've read it that way somehow in recent years. But to have been married 5 times in ancient Palestine was evidence of circumstances completely beyond the control any woman had at that time. Whether she was widowed or divorced, having had 5 husbands would have made others, and probably she herself, believe that she was cursed, that she or her ancestors had done something. You see, either she had lost 5 husbands to death, think of the grief of that, or she was divorced, and one of the main reasons that divorce happened was because of barrenness. Another deep grief, or some combination of those things. And now, it's likely when she says the man she lives with, Jesus says the man you live with isn't your husband, it's very likely that this was another male family member, or maybe a Levirate type of marriage where women were passed from brother to brother to brother, that offers her protection from being used. If she didn't have children, she didn't have a way to be supported. Her life deserved compassion, not judgment. So if we put aside our preconceived notions of how we might have heard this story before, we can see this woman more clearly. We can see her as Jesus saw her. You see, Jesus doesn't just know about her, he knows her. She was a woman who continually pushed on Jesus' answers, asking more and more questions of him, refusing to go away until she understood. She was a woman who was so excited by the encounter she had with Jesus that she left her jar by the well, the whole reason she'd been there in the first place, as she ran back to town. She was a woman whose story was so compelling that the entire town came out to the well to see for themselves. She was a woman who refused to keep her God moment, her experience of God, to herself. She isn't scandalous. That doesn't mean the story isn't. The real scandal in this story is simpler, though. And I think it's only obvious if we think about last week's reading alongside it. We lose something when we only read a small portion of the Bible and then forget about the rest of it when we're reading the next portion, right? So last week's reading was the story of Nicodemus, you may remember, a legal expert, a leader in the religious community. Nicodemus came to see Jesus when? At midnight, yep, in the cover of darkness. And during their conversation, Nicodemus didn't understand Jesus. His questions quickly turned into confused silence. And he actually disappears completely from the story. Jesus keeps talking. We never really hear Nicodemus again in that story. It seems that he went away disappointed with the words of Jesus following him. This is the judgment, that the light was coming into the world and the people preferred darkness. And now compare that to this story. In the very next chapter, here's a woman who meets Jesus at the brightest point of the day and doesn't give up questioning, even when she misunderstands Jesus' words initially. Right? She keeps asking until she understands that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and then she runs to tell others to come and see. Nicodemus, the Jewish leader well respected in the community, came at night and went away in darkness. The Samaritan woman came at high noon and brought others into the light. So here's the real scandal, that a woman who represents all that's hated in Jewish culture is the one who lives in the light and brings others to see. The woman at the well, I really wish we knew her name, doesn't simply walk away from the well or even come back by herself to see Jesus again, right? Instead, in her excitement over this one who offers living water, she leaves her water jug and runs to tell everyone in the village that she has met a man who she's pretty sure is the Messiah. She offers her experience and invites others to have an experience, to come and see for themselves. She is the kind of disciple that we should all want to be. She loves to tell the story to anyone who will listen. And then we have this rather strange interlude, right, between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus basically says, see what she just did? The fields are ripe for harvesting, and no waiting till the fall. I'm only in the world a little longer. Go and do what she just did. I think we're often scared by the words evangelism or testimony, but really they just mean that we should follow the example of the woman at the well. When we see the movement of the Spirit, we should say so. When we sense the presence of God, we should describe that moment to others. When we see Jesus in the face of another, we should share that story. Not just to give an answer, not to tell someone they're going to hell, not to insist that everyone see or feel or understand the way we do, but to invite them to look for themselves, to ask for themselves, to know and be known for themselves. When we share our experiences with God, we're simply saying, here's what I've seen. Will you come and see too? That's what evangelism is. We're called to invite others to come and see. Because when our lives are transformed by encountering the Messiah, that's not just about us. And it's not just for us. It's for our communities. It's not something to be kept to ourselves, but to be shared with our neighbor. Think about our mission statement, right? To make disciples for Jesus Christ. Does it stop there? No, for the transformation of the world. Our task, when we experience God's love, is to make the possibility of those encounters available to other people. And that means we have to create space for discernment, for listening to God every day and asking God to show us the possibility of those encounters. The Gospel of John calls us to encounter Jesus, to believe in him, and to testify to the ways he brings abundant life to everyone and invite others to come and see for themselves. And that's exactly what the Samaritan woman does. The more she engages Jesus, the deeper her understanding of him becomes. He starts out as just a Jewish man asking her for something, and she is not so sure about him. But then she understands him to be a prophet, and as she spends more time with him, she realizes his true identity, the Messiah. And out of that abundant spring of living water that overflows in her soul, she immediately seeks out her neighbors to share this good news with them. This week I have some homework for you. I would like for you to take some time this week to think about the most recent time you have experienced God's presence or seen Jesus or felt the movement of the Spirit. And then I want you to find a friend or family member to tell about it. There's one more part. It's a three-part assignment. Once you've practiced with your family member or friend, I want you to be on the lookout this week. Be prayerful that God will show you a chance to tell that experience to someone else, to invite them to come and see what God can do. My prayer for us is that we will understand how loved and known by Jesus we are, and that we'll then be witnesses for that love so that others can also come and see the one who knows and loves them. May it be so.